Today's Gospel of the Lenten Mass is rather lengthy today, but it is truly, you might say, the Sacred Heart Gospel. Our Lord is told the news that Lazarus, his friend, says in the Latin, Lazarus amicus noster, Lazarus, our friend, is sick. And notice how, if you read the Gospel, our Lord did not go right away to heal him, not even to visit him, but rather he stayed back. And then days later, he mentions to his disciples, well, let us go and see Lazarus, for he sleeps. The apostles speak up and they say, well, if he's sleeping, it'll do him some good. And besides that, if you go back to Jerusalem, they're going to put you to death. So there's no good in going. But our Lord says, we're going. And so Thomas, always brave, the brave one, he looks at the other disciples and he says to them, well, if our Lord's going to die, let us then accompany him and die along with him. And so they go. But along the way, our Lord says he's sleeping. And then it says in the Gospel, he speaks very clearly to them, because they just didn't get it. He says, Lazarus is dead. And so they go. And who do they meet first but the Lazarus's sister, the patroness of the act of life, Saint Martha. Martha comes out running to our Lord. And remember that our Lord was very close friends with this family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, very close to them, and several times visited their home in the little town of Bethany. Well, Martha comes running out to him and says, Lazarus is dead, and if only you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Then they have a most beautiful conversation together, and he says, our Lord says to her, do you believe that at the last day, or that he will rise from the dead? And Martha says, yes, I know that he'll rise from the dead on the last day. He will have his resurrection. Our Lord looks at her and says a very mysterious thing. It's filled with deep mystery, but it's one of the most beautiful things that our Lord says. He looks at her and must have said with great majesty on his face, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And then you can imagine what impression that made on all that had heard it. And so then they go and tell Magdalene, who, remember, at this point, she's still back in the house, and there she's praying because she's a patroness of the interior life, and she was a contemplative. They tell her that our Lord is waiting for her. And notice how she runs to him. That's a lesson for us all. Our Lord's waiting. He's waiting for us all the time to give up this thing or this bad habit or this vice. He's waiting. And if someone tells us, look, your Lord, he's come, but he's just waiting for you, we should do as Mary Magdalene, who was deep in prayer and in sorrow. And then she gets up and runs to the Lord. And where do we find her yet again in this Gospel? It says that when she came to our Lord, the first thing she did was to go down to his feet. That was Mary Magdalene's place. She was a penitent, after all. And she says the same words that Martha did. Lord, if only you had been here, our brother would not have died. And then our Lord is moved, so to speak, move to compassion. And because he sees Mary and Martha and all of the other Jews who are there weeping, he says, where is Lazarus? And he actually, I believe, does cry himself. Because remember, he's friend. He has a human heart with human affections. And he wept over this. And he says, where is he buried? And he goes, and when they are about to open the tomb, note this part, someone tells him, Lord, He's been in there for 4 days. He's going to stink. His flesh has been corrupt and he's rotting. And that proves a point that this was no ordinary miracle. This man was already decaying, his body rotting in the grave. And it shows the immense power of God that he, by the word of his mouth, a single act of his will, he can bring back from the dead a man who was in the grave and decaying for 4 whole days. Lazarus, he said in a loud voice, it says, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately, Lazarus rises from that grave, and they unwind the bandages that they put on a deceased person. But you see, that is what the love of the Sacred Heart did for Lazarus. But the same thing happens, but in a more perfect manner, every single day that we live. Our Lord goes in search of sinners. And there are the Marthas and the Marys who are there, parents weeping over their children and their sinful life, how they've gone astray. And they weep, and they fall at our Lord's feet before the tabernacle, Mary-like, and they weep for their children, and they pray, Lord, if only you had been here, my child would not now be spiritually dead. But our Lord is your friend too. Never forget that. He created you. You are His. He has called you to His supper at the altar. He wants to remain here on our altars simply because He wishes to be in the company of man. My delight is to be with the children of men, He says. And you fall at our Lord's feet and you beg for the souls of your children. And our Lord comes onto the scene and He says your child's name. He says, come forth. And He raises them from a spiritual death. That is what goes on here. Again, what St. Augustine calls a greater act than the creation of the world, the forgiveness of sins that happens in that confessional. So you see that today is a Sacred Heart gospel, a Sacred Heart feast, if you will. And you see also the love of the Sacred Heart in the life of St. Vincent. And I won't speak much on him. I have to let you go anyway. But St. Vincent was a Dominican saint. And his story goes in this way, that his times were probably just about as bad as ours. Here we have 0 popes. But back then, they had not 2, but 3 claimants to the papal chair. And they were all trying to figure out which one was the true pope and which ones weren't. And there were fights and there were schisms and everything else. On top of it, there were heretics going everywhere, spreading their heresies, Wycliffe and John Huss and all of these men. And then there were the Jews, of course. They're everywhere all the time, it seems. And then there were the Muslims, too, causing all sorts of problems in Spain and different places. And St. Vincent even wrote that the morals of the people were so corrupt. He spoke of impurity. He spoke of just about every other vice that you can think of. It all existed in his day. He said it was so bad that it was to be compared with the time of Noah, when our Lord wiped out the whole human race except for one man and his family. That's how bad it was in his time. And he became ill over it. So zealous was he for the salvation of souls. He became ill and was at the point of death when St. Dominic and St. Francis of Assisi both appeared to him. And then our Lord comes onto the scene and touches him on the cheek and write it and tells him that he wishes him to go out and preach especially the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And then St. Vincent rises up totally refreshed from his deathbed. And so we pray to him for preservation from a sudden death. And then he would go out and preach. And they say that even though he was an old man who could hardly walk, he oftentimes needed to be supported by other men walking along with him. They say that when he got up into the pulpit, that he was a totally different man with such energy when he preached that it was clear that it was the Holy Ghost. For as soon as he left the pulpit, he could barely walk back to the altar. But they say he converted so many Protestants back to the faith. And then it was, I believe, 200,000 Jews that he converted. And then as far as the Muslims, he struggled a lot with them, and he even was kicked out of the countries where they were persecuting others, and he was threatened with death himself if he didn't leave. He did leave, but not because he was afraid to be martyred, but for the safety of all the other people if he didn't leave. So he left, but in the end he converted some 18,000 Muslims to the Catholic faith. So much did God bless his preaching. In any case, today, we think of these saints, Lazarus and Vincent Ferrer and Martha and Mary, and we think of all the sinners in the world today. Let us today pray for them, especially at the moment of the consecration, when we can actually see our Lord. Lord, if you had been here, our loved ones would not have fallen. And then hear him say, Lazarus, come forth, a sign of a spiritual resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.